I have also been following the social media accounts of some of the European visitors to America. And one of the most prominent ones is a German guy named Freddie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Reed talks about him a lot.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and he, his travels took him through Fairhope, and they spent the night in Fairhope, and his post, he said he could move there. Like, he was won over by Fairhope and the pier and everything. So what's great is, for as much as we complain about everything that's wrong with our country, to get a fresh perspective from all these European visitors who've never been here before, who are here for soccer, to just marvel at things we take for granted, it really gives you a boost as an American.
Indeed.
It does. It reminds us to be grateful, too, for all we have. People just aren't. I mean, the leading theme mostly on social media is complaints, but this is really kind of a refreshing change.
And the regularity of, of things, you know, just we become accustomed to it. Like, we think, oh, Europe, you're traveling on the mountains and the castles and all this kind of stuff, and they're just driving by going to get their cup of coffee. I mean, it just becomes regular to us, right, Tom?
Yeah, and, you know, Alexis de Tocqueville came to America from France and was inspired to write Democracy in America based on our political system. And the version of that today is soccer fans come here and they marvel at Buc-ee's and Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah, exactly.
And ranch dressing.
Yes.
I'm never going home.
Oh, so Tom, this is a big movie you're going to preview for us, Disclosure Day. A lot of people have been waiting a long time for this one, right?
Yes, and I am one of those people who's been waiting. I was eager to see a Steven Spielberg story directed by Steven Spielberg, scored by John Williams, all-star cast, including Emily Blunt, Josh O'Connor, Colin Firth, Eve Hewson, who I learned is Bono's daughter. Didn't know that.
Wow.
So, yeah, great cast and you know, one of the greatest directors of all time. Certainly the greatest composer of movie scores of all time, John Williams.
How old is John Williams now?
Oh, no. He's well into his 90s.
Oh, wow.
And the topic of the film, which is, you know, are there aliens among us and what do we know about that, is very timely given the things coming out from the government and you know, footage and pictures and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, all the stars align for this to be the movie of the summer.
Pun intended.
Relevant, everything else. Let me just give you this synopsis of the basics of the plot before I get into what I thought about it. It takes place in modern times. The world is on the brink of World War III, you know, as we always seem to be. A lot of discord in the world, a lot of conflict. In the midst of this, the movie sort of starts right in the middle of things. Josh O'Connor's character is a cybersecurity specialist who has stolen digital evidence of human and alien contact that has taken place over the past 79 years. And he's got these digital files, videos, pictures, everything else that if shown to the world would make it undeniable that there has been alien contact. So he's on the run trying to figure out what to do with this. Meanwhile, Emily Blunt plays a Kansas City, a local TV weather reporter who suddenly, she has an incident where she suddenly develops intuitive psychic abilities, which are tied into the whole alien thing. And the two main characters are kind of drawn to each other, kind of unexplainably drawn to find each other. Meanwhile, Colin Firth plays the CEO of a defense contractor, works with the government, who has been reverse engineering this alien technology and keeping all this information under lock and key, hidden from the public. So he is on their path, trying to hunt them down to stop them from disclosing all of this information to the world. So it's sort of the world must know position versus it's too dangerous to tell people any of this position. The world would panic. It's better off if people don't know about this. the thinking is it would shatter the faith of the people, or they wouldn't know how to handle this, and all that sort of thing. So that's the conflict. Now, that to me sounds like a timely, relevant, fascinating premise for a movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that I cannot remember the last time I was this profoundly disappointed by a film. This movie is, you know, when, you know, y'all know I always like to kind of couch these things in analogies. Mm-hmm. So the one that came to mind this time is, you know, you go to a fancy restaurant and you order some fancy, like, puff pastry kind of meal or something. It comes out and it's like this big, huge, puffy something, dessert or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you poke the crust on the top, and then it all sort of deflates at once, and you realize all that was in there was air.
Oh, yeah.
Or you get your Blizzard from Dairy Queen, and you scoop out that first bite, and you realize the machine has left a giant hole in the middle of your Blizzard, and you don't have nearly as much as you thought you would.
Bummer.
That's this movie. It's got all the elements that you think would make a great Steven Spielberg film. And when it got to the end, I saw it with our old pal, David Renshaw. And when we got to the end, David and I looked at each other, and our reaction was identical. It was, what was that?
Oh, like, no.
What was the point? That's it? It was, put it this way, Steven Spielberg, it's interesting. This is his third sort of an unofficial trilogy of humans meet aliens movies, right? Mm-hmm. You all think back to Close Encounters was the first time he did this. And then he did E.T. And this is sort of the third film that has this same basic structure where you've got a handful of your key human characters are good people, but flawed, heavily flawed, mm-hmm. but good people searching for truth. Meanwhile, the government or the authorities are sort of driving around in these black vehicles, and they're armed and they're angry and they're evil. And they want to, if there's something, they're not curious about the aliens. They just want to hide it or get rid of it. And the aliens in these films are benevolent. They are better than us. They seem to be somewhat perfect. And if only we would just listen to them and invite them in, then everything would be good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All three films have that same ideology.
Right.
But the first two worked. The first two are classic films. Mm-hmm. The problem is, we've seen this twice before, and this time the plot, even the plot beats are kind of the same. The characters being chased around by the authorities and meanwhile trying to get to the heart of the truth about the aliens. This film, though, it has the window dressing of being profound, of being about something deep, about what we could really learn as the human race. And could, if we made some connection with aliens, we could rise above all of our petty conflicts. Spielberg thinks he's onto something profound here, but it's not profound at all. There's nothing profound going on here. It's a very simplistic idea. Now, as opposed to simple, simple ideas can be profound. This is not simple. This is simplistic. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to puzzle out what's really the problem here, because Spielberg he's great. He's a great director, and I think he's well-intentioned. And I think what it comes down to is, I don't know, I know he's culturally Jewish. I don't know if he practices Jewish faith at all. My suspicion, based on his movies, is that he does not. But what he does have is he has a curiosity and a longing for something greater, for something more beyond our flawed humanity. Mm-hmm. And that gets back to the old saying that every person has a God-shaped hole in their heart, and we're all trying to fill it. And the question is, what are we trying to fill it with? Mm-hmm. And so if you're a believer, And you see the flaws and the sin of this world. The way you cope with that is to realize that suffering can have purpose and that there is the possibility of redemption and that God sent his son to save us. Amen. And that that heavenly perfection awaits.
Beautiful.
And that there's a point to all this. Mm-hmm. But if you don't believe that, and you still see the sins and the flaws of this world, you've got to find another path of hope. And some people try to find that in material things. Well, that leaves them unfulfilled. Some people try to find that just in self-centeredness. That leaves them unfulfilled. But then there are other people who aspire for something, no, actually greater, something beyond ourselves, beyond this world. And C.S. Lewis, in his book Paralandra, calls this idea of looking beyond this world but not to heaven for salvation. He calls this the sweet poison of the false infinite.
Whoa.
Which is a fascinating concept. The idea that there must be something greater than us in this universe. And if it's not God, it must be out there in the stars somewhere. It must be alien life somewhere. And the problem is that isn't the case. That's the wrong answer. Now, aliens may be real. They may be out there somewhere, but they're not the source and be all and end all. But the problem is we all, Steven Spielberg and all of us, we crave perfection. We crave fulfillment. We crave final happiness. So as believers, we long for heaven, but non-believers keep trying to plug something else in that hole. And so as a believer watching this film, seeing Spielberg continue to try to plug aliens, benevolent, super powerful aliens into this hole, I just sit there going, no, that's not it. That's not, what a letdown it would be if that was the answer.
You know, Tom, I'm having an epiphany here because I had a conversation years ago with a friend of mine. We were arguing over the movie Independence Day. And I was like, yeah, that's a great film. That's a great film. It's fun to watch, especially, you know, on 4th of July and stuff like that. And she was like, aliens wouldn't do that. Aliens wouldn't come and then just destroy us. They're so much smarter than us. And I went, what? And now everything that you're saying, Tom, aligns with that.
Yeah. Yeah. We have this assumption that they're going to be like, more advanced, more perfect, better than us. And that's a dangerous idea when we believe that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That's very problematic theologically to think that way. And in addition to all these very troubling meaning questions of the film also, the pacing is weird. It can't decide if it wants to be an action movie or not, if it wants to be comedic or not. There are lines in the script which are clearly meant to be funny, to elicit a chuckle. Our theater, which was pretty full, reacted to none of it. Like it all just fell flat in our screening. It was long. I found myself bored at times.
Wow.
It's kind of meandering about and it's just kind of a muddled mess.
So how did it get 82% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Because of Spielberg.
I think there's a Spielberg bias. Mm-hmm. To give it for some critics to watch and think, well, if I don't like it, I must be wrong because Spielberg is too good for me to not like this movie. But I also think a lot of critics, if you're a person who is not a churchgoer, you are going to watch this movie and you might find it mind blowing because you also crave that something beyond, that something of deeper meaning. So I think there's a lot of secular wishful thinking when it comes to this. But if you're a believer and you watch this movie, it should just leave you going like, that's it. That's all. Basically the message of the movie is we need to learn from the aliens to be nicer to each other. And yeah. That was also the message of Close Encounters in E.T. It's like, no, there's more to it than that. It's not just about being nice to each other. It's about sacrifice and growth and virtue and making hard decisions and all this. It's not just that simple. It's a very simplistic idea of perfection. And it just falls flat. I think this movie really, really just landed with a thud at my feet. Oh. I just can't. The performances are good. It's well acted. But even the score, John Williams' score is non-memorable, uninspired. And I wonder if that's a function of its age, or is that a function of he was uninspired by the film? I don't know.
Mm. It sounds like
I'm just so disappointed.
It sounds like, Tom, that Steven Spielberg has all of the surface covering. He's able to do the action, craft the shell of a story, but when it gets down to the hard, deep questions of our humanity, he can't answer them, and he can't propose it on screen, and that's probably what you're feeling.
Yeah, do you know, way back in the Looney Tunes cartoons, the Bugs Bunny era, you remember the big red hairy character called Gossamer?
Yes.
He was a bunch of fur and a pair of shoes, and so he got a haircut. And when the haircut was done, all that was left was the pair of shoes. Turns out all he was fur. And that's what this movie is. It's all fur and just a pair of shoes left at the end. There's nothing there of substance.
All right. Good for families, kids, violence? What?
I think kids will be bored.
Okay.
And families, I wouldn't recommend taking your family. Not that it's inappropriate. It's just kids aren't going to enjoy it, I don't think.
Huh. Okay, that's... Disclosure Day, Tom McDonald's Hot Review.
Disclosed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Toy Story 5 next week.
Oh, awesome.
Woo!